Hello, and welcome to the Windows Phone 8 Jumpstart. My name's Andy Wigley, and this is Rob Tiffany.
I'm Rob Tiffany, an old friend of Andy's. All right, let's get started here.
Okay.
Who is this guy?
Okay, so I'm Andy Wigley. I have just joined Microsoft. I was 10 years a Microsoft MVP. I was told yesterday you have to get to 11 for it to mean anything, but hey.
Oh.
So
Do you get a special trophy or anything?
No.
Okay.
So I've just joined Microsoft UK. I'm working as a technical evangelist in the in DPE, Developer and Platform Evangelism, doing developer outreach events such as this, and working with the field and working with our customers to help create great solutions for Windows Phone and other technologies.
And I know they appreciate that. Absolutely.
So I live in Snowdonia in North Wales, so bore da to anybody listening from Wales at the moment. And
shout out to Wales.
Yeah, I've written a number of books in the past. I was very pleased to see when I joined DPE, they have a bookshelf in there, which is the bookshelf of obsolete technologies, and my .NET Compact Framework core reference, was written in 2003. Is on there, but actually that's kind of harsh because it covers we're at a version 3.9 on that now, so
yeah. Compact Framework has lived on longer than people realize.
Yeah. Now, for those of you who have watched the jump starts in the past, you will realize that this is not Rob Miles, who has been my partner in crime for these, but he is Rob. We have managed to find another Rob. Now, Rob Miles intended to be here. It was our intention to have him here. He's had a few health problems. He's fixing great, but unfortunately, man, he couldn't be here, so he sends his apologies. But his spirit lives on in this.
Yes.
For those of you who love bad jokes and cheese, we are going to ensure that that remains in this. And
That's why they got me. My name is also Rob, and I've got a lot of bad jokes.
Okay.
I don't know if they'll be as good as Rob Miles. I hope, Rob, you're watching. So, it's my turn here. All right, so I do a lot of enterprise mobility strategy work here at Microsoft. I work in our enterprise and partner group. Known Andy for a long time. I think we met when we were MVPs together. I wasn't an MVP for 10 years, unfortunately. I think just like three, something like that. So there's probably no award for that. But yeah, it's got my start writing books like Andy. And it would probably be on the bookshelf of obsolete books, like books on the Pocket PC and Pocket Access. Do you remember Pocket Access?
Wow. Yes.
Yeah, I really talked about that stuff.
But you write real books with like real stories as well.
Right? I have an alternate ego.
Right.
That yes, I do write children's stories as well as computer books. So, but that's for another time. But I'm excited to be here.
Great.
Let's get after it.
All right. So let's look at the agenda. What you're going to get for the next 2 days? We've got a packed agenda. So there is a load of new stuff in Windows Phone 8. So let's make one thing clear, that this 2 days is not just aimed at people who are already Windows Phone 7 developers, but of course we're obviously going to call out all of the differences and the new things as we go through it. But we're also going to, we hope to have people watching this who are new to Windows Phone. So we've got a lot of sessions there, as you can see. We've got an introduction first, where we're introducing Windows Phone 8 application development. We split that into two parts. So we're going to take a look at the different ways you can build apps for Windows Phone 8, and it's quite a lot expanded from what we had in Windows Phone 7. We're going to do a quick run-through of all the new features at a very high level, so kind of what's coming up over the next 2 days. And we're going to have a quick introduction to the development tools and tell you how to get started. So that's 1A and 1B. And then the next two sessions, designing Windows Phone apps and building Windows Phone apps, this is really quite a quick run through the whole process of building a Windows Phone app from conception through to building all the essential bits into it, creating some pages, navigation, the data storage, and a lot of good things. So concentrating primarily on the design look and feel, about creating a great looking and great operating Windows Phone app. So that's what 2 and 3 is about. And then after that, we kind of dig deeper into all of the different technologies. So we're going to look at files and storage. Then we're going to take a 60-minute break. For us, we're over in Redmond, of course, in Washington. So that's kind of a midday Pacific time when we're going to take a break for an hour. And then the second half of the day here, we're going to run through the Windows Phone 8 application lifecycle, talk about background processing, the new tiles story and lock screen notifications, push notifications, and then a session using phone resources, which is all about interacting with the different things that the platform gives you. So interacting with contacts and with maps and with all those kind of, and the sensors, these kind of features, and the camera.
Excellent.
And then tomorrow, we've got another packed day as well.
But so there's more.
There is much more.
Yes.
Much more. So first is the erroneously named app-to-app communication session. Yeah. We keep that in a feeble attempt to grab your attention because it's kind of, oh, really? App-to-app? Yeah, but it's much more than that. It's more. Oh, yeah. It's actually ways, some cute ways of launching your app, and that can be from another app. But that's only part of the story. Looking at networking, so masses of ways of, these phone devices are incredible communications devices. So there's plenty of ways that you can link your apps to data sources in the cloud, to calling out to resources out on the internet. So we're going to look at a lot of different aspects of that, including a lot of best practice about compression and good ways of doing that, and have a look at Azure mobile services and that kind
of
stuff.
Wow. Azure's hot.
It certainly is hot.
Yes.
So proximity sensors and Bluetooth, this is all about NFC and Bluetooth, so we've got great new APIs for doing that. Speech input is really good fun. We've really got a very good, rich API for doing for putting speech interaction into your apps. Maps and location, we've got a new maps control. There's the wallet, run through that. In-app purchasing, then another break for us, and then the second half of that day, we talk about the whole Windows Phone Store, how you actually submit your apps, what the submission process is. Enterprise applications, we've got a big story for creating applications and for enterprises to publish their own apps. So Rob is going to give the benefit of his experience as a mobility architect and on that session. How you can create apps that will, from one code base, that will run on Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8. And then Rob's going to wrap up. We're going to take a good look at creating web apps for Windows Phone 8.
Yeah, the web's still around, as I hear. So we'll touch on that. Excellent.
Okay, so
shall we dive in?
We should dive in.
Excellent.
So, okay, so we're going to start with...
We're going to start with
my notes up here.
We're going to introduce that Windows Phone 8 app development. This is great stuff. You're not going to be using embedded VB anymore like you might have thought, or even embedded C++.
All right.
Visual Studio 2012 is your friend.
So introducing Windows Phone 8 app development. So,
excellent.
Yeah. So this module, we're going to look at the new application platform in Windows Phone 8. We're going to take a look under the covers, what's the architecture, what has really changed with Windows Phone 8, and then we're going to have a look at the different application development models. There are different ways that you can build apps. Now, we're going to touch on each of the different ways of building apps, but I have to stress, I probably haven't stressed this already, you should have picked this up from the publicity for this event, but this is really all about building XAML apps with C#. So we'll have a quick look at the C++ and the mm-hmm. DirectX and the other models for building apps, but the rest of the content is going to be concentrating on XAML and C#. We're going to look at the Windows Phone 8 version of the Windows runtime. We have a Windows Phone runtime, so what's that all about? Then how do you get started? We'll take a quick break, and then we're going to do this high-level run-through of all the new features that are in the product. We're going to look at the Windows Phone 7. How do Windows Phone 7 apps run on Windows Phone 8? What do you have to do to get that to happen?
I'm just glad that they do.
Not very much they do,
yeah,
yes.
That's
it's
great.
A good story there.
Yeah.
But we explain how that works and what you need to be aware of. And then finally, an introduction to getting started and getting going, creating your first little Hello World apps and creating
excellent.
Some of the tools. So that's going to take us through the first 1A and 1B. That's what we're looking at here. So the first thing to say...
Wow.
Is what we've got is killer hardware. So we have got some great looking new phones that come from our hardware partners. Great phones there from Nokia, HTC, Samsung, and a number of other manufacturers as well are coming forward with some great looking devices. So this is a really, they, taken a new look at the hardware, the new smartphone platform. So now we've got good support for multi-core chipsets. So I think all of the phones that have been announced so far are dual-core devices. Whole new graphics processor. Increased RAM. So on Windows Phone 7.x, we had the maximum spec for devices was 512 megs of RAM. And there were lower spec devices at 256. That now has doubled. So most of the devices that have been released so far, 1 gig of RAM. And then some lower spec devices will be coming along with 512. More screen resolutions. We've got three screen resolutions. So we're going to cover that in session three this morning about how you handle programming, how do you do your UI for handling three different screen resolutions. Removable SD cards. We can you can actually support SD cards and NFC, of course. Right. Now, when the Windows Phone 8 platform was kind of announced to the world back in, was it June in San Francisco?
That's right, July. Yeah. We had a big summit there.
That's right.
Yeah.
One of the key features that was called out was this shared Windows core. But there has been a little bit of confusion over what that actually means. So, I mean, it's great news for the platform,
right.
But there's been a bit of misconceptions about what it means for the developer story. So let's clear that up. So the key thing is, to realize that what we had with Windows Phone 7.x was the core operating system on that was Windows CE.
Who remembers Windows CE?
It's still alive.
It's still alive. It's our favorite real-time embedded operating system.
That's right. And Windows CE has been around for a long time. It's a great operating system for small battery-powered handheld devices. It's still a great operating system. There's nothing wrong with it. But it was its own branch of the Windows family. And it's like I said, it's been the core operating system through all the Pocket PCs and Windows Mobile and up to Windows Phone 7.x. But there are a lot of advantages in actually combining the different Windows platforms.
Absolutely.
So actually what we've got now is the Windows Phone 8 platform has converged at a low level in the operating system level with big Windows, with Windows 8. So at its heart, we've got the Windows NT kernel is the same now in both. And a lot of the operating system modules are actually shared between Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8. So this has a number of advantages. Clearly, for the future of the platform, this is great foundations for future expansion.
Absolutely.
and combining the developer story.
You get so many things for free just using Windows 8.
So shared core means that you've got the kernel, networking, graphic support, file system, multimedia, the same on both platforms now. So a lot of shared components in there. So all the benefits of the long history of these components in the big Windows operating system comes to Windows Phone as well. For hardware manufacturers, this is pretty appealing because now we've got exactly the same driver model for working with the hardware for both platforms. So they have some efficiencies there that they can take advantage of. And Windows Phone gets all the support. So multi-core has been a stalwart of big Windows support for a number of years. So we've got that long perfection of that model and the way it works comes to Windows Phone as well.
And when you talk about multi-core, just the fact that we get real Windows, big Windows on the phone, you might imagine it could be a huge engineering effort to figure out how to expand to more and more cores on a phone operating system when that's all you're targeting. Just imagine now that we have Windows 8, running on our platform, how much easier this gets. It means our time to market's faster. It's going to be so. I know it sounds crazy having a 64-core phone, but it's not the crazy engineering effort that you might imagine it would be. Since we just get this for free, we get that same shared kernel. So it's good stuff for us. It's good stuff for our customers. No doubt about it.
Sure. Sure. It's important to say, though, what it doesn't mean as well.
Sure.
So we're getting good convergence on the hardware level and the operating system level. From the developer APIs, sure, we're getting a lot of convergence, and that's going to improve. But we're kind of not there yet, if you like. So with Windows Phone 8, we have got complete support for the way we've been building stuff on Windows Phone 7.x. All of that, so you can carry on. Still just creating apps just the same way you always have done. So
that's good for me, because I haven't learned any of that new stuff yet, which is why you have me here today.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Excellent.
Thanks. You're making me feel comfortable.
I'm here to make you feel better. Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll be calling out all the features that I have. Typically, a lot of the new stuff that's come out, NFC, some of the sensors, and we've got networking, APIs. Right. New stuff that has been added into Windows Phone 8 has been borrowed, if you like, or is common with what we've got on Windows 8. So you'll see a lot of commonality. Other stuff, there is some changes. So we have got a session tomorrow where we're going to dig down into what the differences really are. But like I say, we'll be calling it out as we go along.
Absolutely.
All right. Now then, let's dig down into what we've got from a dev point of view. So we are working with three whole sets of APIs that the developers can work with. So we've got essentially managed application development at a high level, managed application development using Windows Phone 7.1, Windows Phone 8, using .NET and Windows Phone Runtime APIs. So you can carry, we've got absolute complete support for the Windows Phone 7.1 APIs. So you could carry on, create apps just the same way we've always done. That is supported. We've also got, by the same score, so Windows Phone 7.1 apps run unchanged on Windows Phone 8. So you can still carry on creating games developed using the XNA framework. So this is a managed framework. We'll have a look at this in a minute. So you can carry on doing that just the same. But you are going to, if you go for that model, obviously you can't use any of the new Windows Phone 8.
Right, right. But it definitely shows our commitment to our existing developer base and all those. I think we're over 120,000 apps in our store today. And so all those are going to work.
Now, if you create a new Windows Phone 8 XAML-based app, or indeed, if you take a Windows Phone 7.1 XAML-based app and then upgrade it in Visual Studio, which is just a right-click upgrade to 8, then you can expand the APIs that you can address, include some of the new stuff that's been added onto the .NET API set, and also the Windows Phone Runtime APIs.
Right.
So again, we'll dig down to those in a short while. There's also a there's a C++ story for Direct3D graphics. So if you do, you can do a pure Direct3D app. We'll look at that in a moment, which is just C++. But you can also combine. You can have a kind of hybrid app where you can have most of your UIs created with XAML, but you can also incorporate some Direct3D graphics into that. So there's a kind of hybrid model for that.
Very cool.
You can obviously do a pure native C++ DirectX Direct3D application, and that is targeted for the games development community.
Right, good stuff.
Now, there's also strong this native development runs right through all of these development models. So, if you've got a Windows Phone 8 XAML-based app, either the pure XAML or the hybrid XAML and Direct3D, you can also call out to native libraries and incorporate native code into all of these application models. So, looking a little bit deeper into what those three different API sets look like. The .NET API is the primary API for managed developers. And, as I said, includes everything that you've been used to using in Windows Phone OS 7.1. It contains all the classes and types from those namespaces. And there's been a whole bunch of new stuff has been added into here as well, which is the wallet, share media tasks. You can see the list there. Now, the Windows Phone Runtime, this is where we're getting a lot of commonality with Windows 8. This is a subset of the full WinRT, the Windows Runtime that we've got on Windows 8, plus some phone-specific additions. So, you don't need to know this, but it's actually implemented in C++, and then what they say is it's projected out. So you get a kind of an addressable API layer on top of that. So any of the methods and types that are in the Windows Runtime can be accessed by C# and VB.NET developers through managed code, and also from native developers, C++. So they're projected out to these different programming models.
So it won't look strange to a managed developer. It'll seem familiar to them.
Indeed. Yeah,
just like they're doing .NET development.
Sure, sure. Now, this is an important thing. HTML5 JavaScript projection, which some of you may be familiar with Windows 8, is not supported on Windows Phone 8. We do have an HTML5 application story. We'll come onto that in a moment. But the WinJS model, the JavaScript and HTML5 model that you're seeing on Windows 8 is not supported on Windows Phone. So what we've got with the Windows Phone Runtime is a subset of the full WinRT. So around about 2,500 or so members of the full WinRT API set. So it's not insignificant.
It's quite
And a lot of stuff that is excluded is stuff that don't make sense on a phone, basically.
So. Right.
And we've also got some new stuff as well, like the speech API. It's kind of, maybe this is like the phone is going to lead the way.
It is.
Maybe this is going to come to Windows 8. That's not an
speech
announcement.
Speech is a...
That's not an announcement, folks, but yeah. It would
Eddie Wiggly but... just made an announcement today for a new product.
Yeah.
The speech is a game changer, I think, Andy.
And I
know we'll dive into that more later.
It's a fun session where to look at the speech. It's fun. It's easy to integrate into your app.
Definitely.
You can do very complex speech-based apps as well.
Can you imagine just building apps where it's just a conversational application? Mm. You're just talking to it, not even looking.
You can do that.
Yeah, amazing stuff.
Yeah. So, we'll dig into that tomorrow. So, yeah, loads of stuff in there. This does mean there's an interesting side effect with this for the managed code developer. So what this actually means is that in certain areas, if you're doing a Windows Phone 8 application, mm-hmm. you've actually got a choice of two API sets that do pretty much exactly the same thing,
right.
but they're slightly different. So you've got the old, if you like, the old school Windows Phone 7.1 API set in the .NET API. Classic example of that is the isolated storage APIs for
right.
storing files down into persistent storage on the phone. Or you can actually, today, you could write new code and use the Windows.storage APIs, which is writing code that is common, that is consistent with what you would do on Windows 8. And there's some other sockets, thread pool, sensors. So there's a bunch of these guys. Now, so which should you use? Well, it kind of depends where you're coming from, really. If you are taking an existing Windows Phone 7 app and you're upgrading it to 8 and you're adding some Windows Phone 8 new features to it, then it makes sense to just stay with the APIs you know that you've already used for those bits that you've got working code. Don't reinvent the wheel. It's working. It's great. If, however, you're doing a new development today and you're going to be looking at creating a Windows 8 version from the same code base, then clearly you're going to want to go with the Windows RT. It's fair to say that going forwards, any new enhancements that are going to be added to the platform in future releases are going to tend to end up in the Windows runtime API set. So you probably want to be making a steady move over to those programming models if you're coming from a Windows Phone 7.1 background.
Definitely, I agree.
All right. So, next. Finally, we got the native API. So we've got a subset of Win32 and COM APIs. We've got WinSock in there, and there's like native camera APIs, and there's a whole bunch of COM stuff. So this is in there with a couple of goals, really, mainly of interest to native code developers, and mm-hmm. it's in there for porting existing native libraries you might have, or it's there to help like the native gaming community or people who are coming from other platforms where you've got C or C++ code. This is a route to you to be able to port those more easily onto the Windows Phone platform. So managed applications, I've said this, you know, there is a hybrid model all the way through this. You can create native libraries and call them from your managed code. So there are going to be some cases where you're going to want to do that. All right. So that's the API sets.
Excellent.
Let's take a look now at a pretty high level, just some of the different apps that we can now create.
Good idea.
So this is the main topic of this course. XAML UI with managed code. So if you're a Windows Phone 7 app developer, you may be wondering what's happened to Silverlight. Where's this Silverlight term gone? It's kind of just been deprecated, if you like. Silverlight is a thing that grew out of a browser plugin for rich internet applications. So it started life as a completely browser resident on the desktop.
WPFE.
WPFE was its code name. Yeah, that's right. it was there, and it was also cross-platform. So the idea was many years ago that this would be a great way of creating rich internet applications resident in the browser. And then it came out of the browser,
right.
So you could actually install those Silverlight applications onto your desktop. And then Windows Phone 7 came along, and they kind of took that out of browser model and made it the primary app development model for Windows Phone 7 apps. And there was no actually in-browser model at all on Windows Phone 7.
Right, absolutely.
But it's kind of, you know, it's kind of gone away from, and the whole thing of browser plugins is kind of losing credence really in the industry. So
no, you're right. It has been trailing off.
Yeah. So we've sort of taken a step back from the Silverlight term, and now we just talk about XAML-based applications. But the key thing here is that it's kind of the same that you always used to know. So XAML in Windows Phone 8 is the same XAML that you're used to working with if you're coming from Phone 7.1. So your logic is written using C# Visual Basic.NET, and you're accessing the .NET APIs and the Windows Phone runtime. Right, so if we're going to switch over to the demo machine. This is Visual Studio 2012. We'll talk about the different flavors of that coming up. But we've got, so I'm going to create myself a new project here. And this is the ultimate. Here's the Windows Phone category. So we see we've got a whole bunch of new project templates that we can choose from. Windows Phone app, DataBound app, Class Library, Panorama, Pivot, and different flavors of these. So I'm just going to create me a let's create me a Panorama app. And you get a drop down. You know, which phone version do you want to support? So in Visual Studio 2012, you can create apps for Windows Phone OS 7.1. You can carry on doing apps for that platform. And of course, there's going to be a lot of phones out in the market that are still running 7.1 for a long time to come. So that still makes a lot of sense. For the target, the new phones only, then you select Windows Phone OS 8.0. And you create a new starter project from the project template, and this is a fully functioning application that has everything you need to get started with this particular style of application. So those templates are different styles of starter app. So let's just hide this. This is XAML, this XML that you see here, Solution Explorer if you're not used to Visual Studio. And there's our design surface. I can just shrink that down a bit so you can see a bit better. And this is this panorama, if you're not used to this, is one of the classical UI models that we have for Windows Phone. So Windows Phone is quite innovative compared to other smartphone platforms, the way it makes use of the sort of limited screen space. And I'm going to run this on the phone emulator, this panorama app, and you'll see what I mean by the innovative approach to handling. So I hope you saw there... depending on how fast your internet link, I hope you saw the nice and buttery smooth animation.
Very buttery, floating. Yes.
So this is, you'll see that this a panorama app is structured into sort of islands of information. So I can swipe across across to the right, and we see, and you can see actually just bleeding onto the canvas at the side there, you can see a hint that there is more to see as well. And it actually is circular, so there's actually three islands of information. And as you can see, in a panorama, they don't have to be bounded by the frame of the page. This third item is actually wider than the physical screen. But you think of the screen then becomes a window frame looking onto a bigger canvas behind. And it becomes very natural for the user to swipe from side to side with their finger to see the more of the content. So when you get to item three, then we're back to first item and second item. So this is one of the nice models. And you get a 3D effect. The background actually moves at a different speed as you're navigating across compared to the foreground data. So
Is that a parallax?
Parallax, that's what it is.
Yeah. It's definitely something you don't see on any other mobile platform.
No. So the anatomy of this, like I said, there's your design surface. This is XAML. This is an XML application markup language, which is how you define your UI. And over the right, we've got the solution explorer for exploring the different files that make up this solution. All right, let's switch back to the slides. And right, so the next model, XNA games using managed code. So there was a lot of debate, was XNA dead? XNA is not dead, XNA is still with us. But it's fair to say that it's not been enhanced either. So what we've got is full support for XNA game development. Exactly the same API set that you may have been used to using for 7.1. So this is still a great platform for writing simple games for Windows Phone. And indeed for Xbox and Windows 7. So... same new project templates as Visual Studio 2010, so you can't use any of the new Windows Phone 8 side of things. And we have project templates for that. If you go back to the demo slide again, demo machine. New project for this. So you'll find the XNA templates actually not in the Windows Phone category, but you need to go down to XNA Game Studio 4, and here you can see we've got a Windows Phone game, Windows Phone game library. I believe there is a... Yeah, so there's a Windows Phone XML and XNA hybrid app project template in the Windows Phone category as well. But let's just create ourselves a straight Windows Phone game. Okay, that. This one is still in C# and VB, but it's like for simple games. It's just code. There actually isn't any XAML on this. There's nothing you can look at in the graphical designer. It's all code-driven. The way XNA games work is that you essentially have four methods that are key. So I have initialize, where you initialize your game.
Yes.
Load content, where you load all the resources into memory, get the game ready to run. And then essentially it calls update and draw 30 frames per second, 30 times per second. It calls update, so you just move your objects around the game world. You have your logic in there to calculate for collisions or bounces and this kind of stuff. And you'll update the state of all your game pieces. And then draw simply draws it all to the screen. So a default game is not terribly exciting.
But I think anyone who wants to get into game development, there's no better place to start than
Absolutely.
With XNA.
Yeah. Now, Rob Miles, if he was here, bless him, this is his expertise. He uses XNA to teach. He's a lecturer at Hull University. He uses this as a great way of teaching programming because it's such a nice, well-factored object model. This is a game,
That's okay. A beautiful game.
Isn't it? Yeah. And actually, in fact, the only thing this game does is you can press the back button and
it closes.
Is that
the Cornflower Blue game?
Cornflower Blue, which is the traditional XNA
Excellent.
Model. All right. That's XNA. Back to the slides. And the next one, Direct3D. So this is the whole new one. Direct3D app is written entirely in native code. And it only uses Direct3D for its UI. This is a game this is the new gaming model for
right.
Windows Phone. But the key thing here is of all these application development models we're showing you here, this is the one that is most commonality with Windows 8. So if you create a Windows 8 game, it will be using these same technologies and a very high degree of the logic and the objects that you create for that Windows 8 game, you'll be able to use in your Windows Phone 8 version. So the game engine, everything will just come across. You may have to resize, obviously, some graphical assets and that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
But that's, Direct3D, so that's the next one. Now, you can also, like I said, you can actually combine this with a XAML app as well. So you can actually have a rich XAML app with some Direct3D graphics in it. And I can show you an example of that on the demo machine. New project. Let's go back to Windows Phone category. And we'll use this hybrid one. This is not that one. This one. Windows Phone X XAML and Direct3D. So let's run it first, show you what it does. And all these are, creating new projects that you can then use as the starting point for creating your real app. So fully functional projects that you get out of new project templates. And it's still creating that project. Taking a little while. Because whenever you've got C++ code in there, Visual Studio seems to have to do a bit more work to get the thing.
Definitely.
Get the thing going.
But you definitely have the requisite 3D cube.
We have the 3D
cube. You have to have that.
Is that a requisite?
It is. Okay. It is. Just to let people know that's what we're doing. You
can see at the bottom we got parsing included files. This is it has a bit more work to do with C++.
Right. Nothing says Direct3D like the rotating cube.
Right. Okay. All right. It's finally loaded. Let's run it. Here's the emulator come up again. And there we go.
Oh, there it is.
Ooh.
Wow.
Isn't that lovely?
It's gorgeous.
If we could just, can we bask in this for a moment? This
Let's
is great.
Let's just admire that.
All right.
Okay, bored of that.
Okay, and carry on now.
Yeah. So if you look at the Solution Explorer on the right here, sure, we've got a XAML page here. That's what we're looking at here. But actual fact, this has got if we're looking actually into the XAML, it's got an element in here called a drawing surface. So this is a XAML element, which is a drawing surface into which you can draw 3D graphics. And the 3D graphics is all in this Phone XAML Direct3D app too, comp. Project over here. There's a cube renderer, and I'm certainly not going to dig into all of that code now, but you can see how you've got this nice hybrid model. You can actually have some rich 3D graphics into your XAML app.
You don't want to scare people by showing them C++ code?
No.
Okay.
Out of scope.
Okay.
All right. Back to the slides. Now, this is a key deliverable for Windows Phone 8 is that managed apps can also interact with native libraries. So leaving right. aside the Direct3D graphics, we can actually have native libraries in there. So you can add a C++ a Windows Phone runtime component project to a managed XAML solution. So in that native code library, you could have some WinSock stuff, but the only purpose WinSock is a sockets API for networking. So I wouldn't recommend, that doesn't give you anything you can't do more easily in managed code, but if you've got some legacy code that uses WinSock, it means you can actually port that library across and use it fairly easily within your native applications. So what would you do this for? So there's a number of scenarios where this becomes useful. So... yeah, when you want to use this is for all Windows Phone 8 apps can use native code, but not all apps need to. So for many app scenarios, a managed app provides the same features and performance as an app that uses native code. And actually, there's some enhancements compiled in the cloud, which I'll talk about in a while,
right,
which make managed apps work even faster than they used to do on Windows Phone 7.1, quite substantially in some cases. But the following are three reasons why you may want to use native code in your app. First of all, there's portability. So if you're targeting multiple platforms,
right,
platforms from other vendors, it may make sense to implement your core functionality in a native library that you can be used on all of the platforms you're targeting. This is something particularly, obviously, gaming industry is keen on. Direct3D graphics, that one we just looked at. If your app needs to use some Direct3D to render some complex graphics to the screen, then you're going to, again, use this native code library to do that. But the most one that's probably going to be of most use to people is performance. So for some scenarios, not all, you can achieve a performance benefit in large computation tasks by using native code. And I've got an example of this which illustrates actually two things. Both of all, how it works.
Yeah.
But also why it's not always necessarily a good thing.
Excellent.
It's a kind of anti-demo, this one.
Oh, that's what we're all hoping for, is an anti-demo to go with our anti-presentation.
Yeah. So
excellent.
On the demo machine, please. And I have to go and find, I've got a sample for this one. So
I hope it's some kind of quantitative analysis.
No.
Okay.
It's not.
All right.
And I have to thank Peter Tor on the phone team for this demo. So
thanks, Peter.
Yeah. I'm going to run this up on the emulator. It needs to build it, clearly, to make it work. You don't say.
Yeah.
And here is the emulator. Now, here we've got a nice picture of, I don't know what.
Is that the Bellagio?
You tell me. Is that in...
in Las Vegas?
Las Vegas, okay. There you go.
Not to be confused with Bellagio on Lake Como.
Okay, so this has got this is a big image. If you look on the right, large.jpg is the. Can we look at the properties on that? It doesn't tell you. Anyway, so it's a very big. It's off just off the bottom of the screen, unfortunately, on this resolution. But it's a very large. Trust me, it's a very large image. Now, what happens when you press this go button? Is that some processing happens? And we've now got the same images on the top, but if I scroll up, down here we've got two black and white versions of the same thing. Why have we got two, Rob?
I have no idea.
I shall tell you.
Excellent.
So there's two versions there. Actually, what this is we've taken the original image and we have converted it to black and white,
right,
to grayscale, and it's been done twice, once with pure managed code and once with native code.
Ah.
Just to show that there's two ways of doing this sort of thing. So you might have thought that doing that sort of thing is the computationally intensive sort of thing that should be done in native code. In actual fact, this sample is it was used to sort of instrument this. In actual fact, in this particular case, it's faster to do it in managed code. So that just
get out of town.
Yeah, it illustrates the fact that
you're
not always going to necessarily get the gains that you're going to want. But for a lot of scenarios, it is going to be a useful solution for getting native code incorporating it in. Let me show you the code just so you get a flavor for what's going on.
You need
on.
To prove to them that it's managed code that's going faster.
This is what I'm going to do.
Excellent.
So. Let's see. Now, that's create grayscale native is the one that calls out to our native library. So we've got this is our native. This is native code, C++. Hold on to your hats. Yeah, it's all right. It doesn't hurt. Yeah.
How?
It's beautiful.
It is.
I actually am a C++ developer from a long time ago, but it is a long time ago.
Yeah.
You're getting better.
Yeah, that's right. So I've been managed for quite a few years. I'm going to I tend to stay that way.
We prefer to have you managed.
Yes, it's much better. So that's the native code for doing that. And then there's a create grayscale managed, which is, this is this. We create a writable bitmap. You get an array of pixels from the writable bitmap where you load in the image into it. And they call this make grayscale, which basically does both of these do the same thing. They do a for each round every pixel in the image, and they do this computation. So there's a lot of pixels in this particular image. It's a huge image. So a lot of work. And this processing just shifts the alpha, the RGB, so we end up with a monochrome image.
Okay.
But yeah, the interesting thing, because when you shift, you have to shift all that data across the managed native library.
Right.
There is some overheads for that. So this is why this particular example actually is quicker to do it in managed code.
That's good to know.
Yeah. But if you've got something that's a bit more intensive image processing, something a bit more significant than simply doing a grayscale, then you are going to see performance enhancement by shifting that off into native code.
Like maybe if you needed to do some kind of quantitative stuff where you're maybe taking weather analysis for the last 50 years, and then you need to project forward curves to figure out how much heating oil is going to cost. You might want to do that in C++.
Took the words out of my mouth.
Yeah, or use a supercomputer while you're at it.
Or shift it to the cloud.
Shift it to the cloud. Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
As a routine example of how you might use
C++. As a routine, the sort of thing you're always going to want to do.
Right. Yeah. Pretty standard, really.
Back to the slides.
Yes.
All right. So that was the hybrid model. We're going to see a lot of interesting stuff happening here. So, that was the demo.
That was the demo.
That was the demo.
So we'll just move right on up past that.
Okay, HTML5. So I've already said, this is the key thing, that WinJS projection model that we have, the Windows 8 style HTML5 JavaScript app development, is not supported on Windows Phone 8. But what we do have is Internet Explorer 10. And this is one of those components. This is another thing that kind of... where we get the benefits of the combining of the platforms.
Yes.
So the Internet Explorer 10 has a very high percentage of the code in the Windows Phone version. It's identical to the desktop browser. So we've got a really great new JavaScript processing engine, which is 4 times faster than we had on Windows Phone 7.
Chakra.
Yeah, is that what it's called, yeah.
Yes.
So Rob here is the web guy on this team. So
yeah.
Great support for HTML5. So we've got twice the feature support compared to what we had on the previous version. So we've got a really capable browser on the phone, and we can make use of that in apps, sort of where you've got a native shell hosting a web browser control.
And even though we use the term hybrid app loosely about other things, many of you out in the mobile development world will know what a hybrid app actually is. You see a lot of them out there. Is basically absolutely when you take a native app and put a browser control, and then that browser can communicate with the platform and vice versa. That's when you want to leverage your HTML and JavaScript skills, but you still want to get it into the store, versus just reaching out to a URL to go to a website. And obviously, aside from getting it into a store where people can discover it that way, building these hybrid apps, like Andy will show you here, also allows you, if there's something in HTML5 that you cannot do that only native code can do, but maybe you've got a lot of a high skill set around HTML, this hybrid app will let you communicate with the platform natively. And so your JavaScript on the page could call a C# function, for instance, or a VB function that's in native code that will allow you to access to the platform, maybe like the accelerometer or something like that that you know HTML5 doesn't support. And then vice versa, the platform can call up into a JavaScript function and pass information back to the page. And so it's a great scenario if you have that HTML5 skill set.
Sure. Yeah. And if we go to the demo machine, we'll just show you what you get from the project templates. So we have even got a Windows Phone HTML5 app project template in here. This is not super exciting, it has to be said. But it's got some HTML content in it, which, when it finishes loading, there we go. It's got an index.html page. That's it, HTML. So there's nothing specifically HTML5 about this sample, but it is, a starting block. And nor does this show the interop between managed code and native, but that definitely is the way to, as Rob says, to call out to stuff that you can't do in HTML5. What does that look like? Well, spookily, it looks rather like a regular...
Wow.
Native, regular XAML app.
That's spooky.
It is spooky. But this is HTML. This is HTML being shown in a web browser control. So that model is there for you, and there's a lot of interest in developing for that, because clearly, if you're developing a lot of your content in HTML5, you've got a degree of portability with other platforms. So this
absolutely.
Is, yeah. Okay. So that was that model. Okay. So back to the slides. So finally, in this part of this first session, what about existing Windows Phone 7.x apps? What's the story with this? How do those run on? What's the problems, if there are any, with running those on Windows Phone 8? So the good news is, in general, if you have any apps that you have written for 7.1, you can take that compiled output, that zap file, it will install straight onto Windows Phone 8. So the, how many do we have?
120, probably more than that.
130,000 apps at the present.
About 300 apps per day.
Yeah, it's growing at 300 per day, so it's growing fast. All of those existing apps run just great on Windows Phone 8. Well, nearly all. There were a few that were created with a reduced distribution hybrid API, mm-hmm. which had native code on Windows Phone 7. Those have, but we're talking about a very small number of apps.
Absolutely,
those have to be rebuilt. On the whole, Windows Phone 7.1 apps will work great on Windows Phone 8. Now, there's a difference. There's something you have to be aware of if you just ship your ready compiled Windows Phone 7 app and run it on Windows Phone 8, or whether you can upgrade it to Windows 8. And let me explain what we're talking about here. So your Windows Phone 7.1 app will run without compilation and straight works great on Windows Phone 8. But clearly, the underlying platform, the developer platform, the libraries that we are calling out to when we make API calls, are the Windows Phone 8 versions mm-hmm. on the phone. They are pre-installed and burned into ROM. They are already on the phone. So there is something called the quirks mode, which I've lost a graphic for. Where's it gone? There we go.
There it is. There's those quirks.
There's quirks, yeah. So there's a quirks layer. So the thing is, the compact framework, .NET compact framework, which is what we were building against on Windows Phone 7.x, it had a few idiosyncrasies, shall we say? A few ways of doing things. But that differed in subtle ways from the way that the core CLR, which is the .NET runtime that we developed against for Silverlight, desktop Silverlight apps. Core CLR was the .NET runtime for that. Now, actually, with Windows Phone 8, we are using Core CLR. So Core CLR is now our .NET underlying runtime. But like I said, there are a few subtle differences, and I'll call those out in a moment, between .NET CF ways things worked and the Core CLR ways APIs worked.
Right.
So in Core CLR, the idea is that actually they considered the .NET CF way of doing things like non-optimal, shall we say?
Certainly.
There are a few kind of breaking changes, if you like, between the two different runtimes. So what the quirks layer is there for is to sort of retrofit the broken .NET CF behavior back onto the Core CLR API. So it allows you, this is why your Windows Phone 7.1 compiled app will work just the same as it did on when it was running on a Windows Phone 7 device, and it will behave in the same way when it's running on a Windows Phone 8 device. However, if you then take that same app and you upgrade it, which is just a right-click in Visual Studio saying upgrade to 8, and then it will just run, and you're now a Windows Phone 8 app without having to make any code changes at all. Your same code, exactly, so you haven't changed your code, it will be running on a Windows Phone 8 device, but the quirks layer is removed, so you're running against those underlying API implementations unchanged.
Right,
so
it's absolutely
the new way of working it. Now, most of the time, this is not going to cause you any problems, but there's a few edge cases which you need to be aware of, which are documented, where you can have some problems. So there's two scenarios you have to consider here. First of all, there's the source code incompatibility, which means that some of the actual APIs behave differently. They give you back different results.
Right.
And then the other things is binary app compatibility and this incompatibility. And this is things like basic changes in the behavior of the platform, which cannot be quirked. And one example of that is the garbage collector, which cleans up managed objects. We've now got a very, very efficient one. The benefit is another thing that makes our apps run faster on Windows Phone 8. We've got a great new garbage collector. This is a good example of the subtle things that can go wrong. Objects are finalized, meaning that they are tidied up, and sometimes you can have finalization code that runs when an object is finally destroyed. Very rarely used, but there are some cases. Now, if you perhaps inadvertently were expecting that finalization to happen in a certain sequence, that sequence might be changed on Windows Phone.
Right.
So these are some of the subtle things that can go wrong.
Speaking of a subtle thing, I just want to remind the audience that we do have a poll question up right now, and we'd love for you to answer it. In order to see that, you might have to drop from your full screen mode in order to see the poll, but we'd love to have your participation.
Yeah, absolutely.
And back to Andy.
Thank you. And back to the slide. Yeah.
Yes.
So this is an example of source code incompatibility. You'll need to look at the docs for this, the Windows Phone app platform compatibility. But to pick out a couple of these, for example, the XML serializer, which is a class we use for taking objects in memory and turning them into XML for storage in a file. In Windows Phone OS 7.1, in .NET Compact Framework mode, if you like, you didn't need to have a default constructor. So a constructor is one where you don't take any arguments. So you didn't need to provide one of those. Whereas if that exact same code, you try and run it when you are running in Windows Phone 8 mode, then you'll get an exception because you have to have a default constructor. So you can see this is pretty subtle stuff. Mutex classes, names cannot include a backslash character on Windows Phone 8, whereas running in Quirks mode, that is allowed.
Right.
So, you know, this is hardly going to affect very many people. But if you do, when you upgrade an app to 8 and you start seeing some slightly strange behaviors like that, then have a look at this documentation because you may be hitting one of these quirks incident things. Binary app incompatibility. This is all about the differences in the platform. So background file transfers, for example, you know, we now have an upgraded limit. You can actually have 25 file transfers going on rather than 5. Now, maybe your code assumed that you were going to get an exception when you try and queued up a 6th. So this is kind of, you know, so, but it's not going to happen now. So if you're looking for that, then you're going to...
25 is a lot.
It is a lot. It is a lot. Access to private nested classes. So it's all pretty subtle stuff, but just to raise that for your attention.
You know, Andy, we're getting a lot of questions about WinJS coming in. And I know we kind of talked about it briefly, about how you're going to do HTML5 on our platform. But just to reiterate, on the Windows Phone platform, on Windows Phone 8, we don't have WinJS like you might have if you're doing a native development for big Windows, Windows RT. And so we, you know, when we talk about HTML5 and JavaScript, it's definitely in the context of that hybrid application where you have the app with a browser control to build those style of apps. And the cool thing is, as Andy showed you, those web pages can be in local storage on the device, or like other hybrid apps work, they'll pull it down from a website and work offline using app cache. That is going to be your way to do HTML5 and JavaScript apps on our new platform versus WinJS, which you can use on big Windows 8. So hopefully we can clear that up. A little distinction.
Great. Thanks, Rob. Wrapping up this particular bit.
It looks like we're wrapping up.
We are done. So we're just going to take a short break now. Keep your questions coming. We'll kind of answer as many of those as we can during the break as well. So we're going to take, is it 5, 10 minutes? 5 minutes. 5 minute break. So
10 minutes.
10 minute break.
Five fingers.
Yeah, so the back of the room there. These
we're
going to
use advanced mathematics here today, folks.
You should see all the equipment we're facing us here.
Yes.
It's quite impressive.
Thanks
for your attention so far. We'll be back. So in the next session, we're going to come back, and now we're going to run through all of the new features at a high level, kind of what's coming up in the rest of this. And then we're going to dig down into a lot of your questions about using different platforms for development. This is coming up in the next session. So hopefully we'll answer your questions there about what you can run the tools on and what you can't and what the hardware recs are. And so we'll see you in 10.
Thanks. See you in 10.
Thank you.